Wednesday morning. Welcome to the WLBB Community Voice program here on News Talk 1330, FM 106.3. Also streaming live online at newstalk1330.com. It is 8:30. I'm your host this morning, Colin Worthington. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System, Oak Mountain Academy. My guest this morning, she is the chair for First Readers of Carroll County, and kind enough to come in and talk to us. It's been a while since I've had her on the program, Karen Hartley, and glad to have her back on the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
You know, we first started, I think there was a good 3 or 4 years we talked with First, when I was first here. And for whatever reason, it just hadn't happened in a while. Martha Thurman may have been the last person to come on the program
Martha
and talk
and
about
it.
Martha
and I came several years ago. I don't remember when it was, but yeah, when we changed our name.
Well, I'm glad to have you back. Since you mentioned that, let's talk about that name change. I'm sure we did a story on it. You guys put out a press release about it at the time. It's still using First. It's still First Readers, but you're not using Foundation anymore.
Right. We used to be First Reader, First Foundation for Childhood Literacy, and we found that the name Foundation meant different things to people than it meant to us. We meant the Foundation for Reading, and they thought it was an organization that was giving out money. That's what foundations do. And so it became a bit of a challenge for us to raise money around that. So we made a decision as a larger organization, not just locally here in Carroll County, but the larger organization, to change the name, to leave First, because Robin First Hauser founded the organization, and they wanted to leave that nod to her. But we are now First Readers.
And that is the, as you mentioned, First is what people recognize anyway, and it's
right.
F-E-R-S-T.
F-E-R-S-T.
Before we get into delve into exactly what you do throughout the year, how has COVID affected you as a nonprofit?
It slowed us down a bit in two ways. Our primary roles here locally are registering children and bringing children into the program to receive our free books every month. And for those of you that don't know, what we do is mail books each month that are age appropriate, free of charge, to children from birth to their fifth birthday. So we mail out books, literally about 3,000 books every month to children across Carroll County. And two things have happened to us with COVID. One of our registration has slowed down significantly, largely because we depend on the hospitals and the health department to help us with new baby registration. And the health department hasn't been seeing children in the WIC offices and at health for a long time. And so without face-to-face, they're not doing those registrations. The hospital is still trying to do registrations when they are born, and we still get those in. But we're down about 50% in our registrations over where we were, what we're typically bringing in a year, which is about 700 to 800 children.
Wow.
With that. So that slowed us down. We had to cancel our major fundraiser in October, and so our funding has slowed down also. We've had a small online fundraiser towards the end of this year, and we are bringing in enough, we hope, to cover the December bill, but it's been close. It's been close.
With, with less children registering for the books, are you guys able to, are you getting a stockpile of books? Are you giving away more books to each student?
No, the books are all managed by the larger organization, headquartered in Madison. And so they literally print the books with permission from the publishers according to the needs. So there's not a growing, we don't have a major expense of books not used. That kind of thing. We do get the books back that can't be delivered, and so we do have books that are returned to us and that we can then recycle out into the community to places that need them and can get them out to children.
Well, if we're reaching parents or grandparents this morning who think this is a great idea and would love for their child to have a free book, how do they get in touch and put their name on
the list? They can register their child. They can pick up registration forms at any of the local libraries, or they can go online to firstreaders.org. And click on the registration page and sign their child up. What? And by the way, First Readers now can mail books to children anywhere in the continental U.S. It's not always in a participating county, so they may not be free, but there's a subscription program that allows a grandparent to mail, like I do, to my children, grandchildren in North Carolina for $40 a year.
Mm. What's an example of some of these books? They're ages birth to five.
They're ages birth to five. The children.
And you're not saying the newborns are reading. We're also encouraging parents to read with
their children. Exactly. It is critically important that parents start reading to their children literally from the day they're born. There are brain activities that happen all along the way that create intellectual development during those early time frames. So introducing children to books and reading and talking to children is very, very important to their early growth and development in those early days. So yeah, reading to children. The first year and a half, they get cardboard books. So the heavy duty books that kids can handle and hold. And then after that, a variety of books. You can go on the firstreaders.org website and see the catalog list, if you will, of all of our books in our library and what they will get. That list changes every year, so that if you have a second or a third child in the program and you register a new one, then you're going to get different books for the most part. So,
do we understand why these particular books are picked? Are there the uses of words and verbs and things that
exactly? We actually have a team of about five people at the national level of the organization who are all PhDs in early childhood development, who work with three different local publishers to select the books that are age appropriate for those kids, so they get the right kind of books.
Karen Harley.
And diversity with that.
Karen Harley, our guest on this morning's Community Voice program. She's with, I don't want to say First Foundation, First Readers of Carroll County, and kind enough to talk about their program with us this morning. What kind of statistics do we know locally as far as people who typically are able to take advantage of it? And everybody who does take advantage of it, do they need it? Do they not have access to books elsewhere?
You know, statistically, we know that close to 60% of children who live in homes at poverty level do not have any reading materials in their home at all. And I think about that, and I think, you know, if you think about the people at poverty level, oftentimes those are people who barely graduated from high school or maybe didn't graduate. They're doing minimum jobs. They probably struggled in school because they didn't like to read. And they didn't like to read because they didn't learn to read early on. And, you know, it kind of goes all the way back. Those are the parents that are least likely to read, even think about reading to their children. And so we really want to reach those families and help them know how important it is. And if they don't know how to read, let's learn to read with your kids doing that. But we also know that in this county, almost 2/3 of our children don't pass the third grade reading test. And so it's not a poverty problem. It's much broader than that. 60% of our kids can't read adequately by third grade. So they didn't get a foundation early on. So we're trying to reach all of the children in the county. Mm-hmm. We don't look at income level at all. We don't care. We just register kids. So anybody's children are eligible to register.
You had mentioned the fundraiser this year got squashed because of COVID. Mm-hmm. What are other ways? I mean, we can talk about some of those programs individually, but those from donors inside the
we
community.
We really have three sources of income. Our major fundraiser is one critical piece of that, and we usually get $30,000-$35,000 a year off our fundraisers. Our donors, individual donors, a primary piece of that. And some of those are donating $10, $40. It costs $40 per child per year. And so donation level for us is $40.
I feel comfortable with that. You think
yeah.
You're helping out one kid. $40.
You know, that's two $20 bills. That's not very hard for a lot of people. So, and then about half of our revenue, our income actually comes from grants that we write and apply for. Two of the big ones being local Community Foundation of West Georgia and the Alice Richards Fund are big supporters of ours and have been for all the years that we've been in this organization. So they're really good with that. But we spend about $120,000 a year providing those books.
More superficially, thinking about the kids, are they taking pride in owning a book?
And parents tell us by the time they're 3 years old, they get excited when they see the mail. Mm-hmm. They're like, do I have a book today? Some of them want to go to the mailbox and check, you know. Mm-hmm. They get to the point that they know kind of when they're going to come, and they're looking for it. So, yeah, they're really proud of that.
Karen Harley, our guest on this morning's Community Voice program, First Readers of Carroll County Executive Director. We're going to take our first break and come back and continue our conversation. Time right now is 8:40, and Community Voice is brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy here on News Talk 1330.
At Oak Mountain Academy, our daily schedule includes convocation, prayer, and the Pledge of Allegiance. By doing so, we build a family-like community where all students grow and flourish and personal faith is encouraged. Through community service and a historical approach to biblical study, our students are taught the value of the warrior way, honesty, respect, and responsibility. Oak Mountain Academy, we are a family creating legacies. To learn more, visit oakmountain.us.
For more than 70 years, you have turned to Tanner Health System for your healthcare needs. As our community moves forward, Tanner is here for you. Strong, safe, and close to home. Routine medical appointments, urgent elective surgeries, and imaging are back on the calendar at our hospitals and Tanner Medical Group practices. With the safety of our patients, staff, and community always our top priority. Learn more at Tanner.org. Hashtag We Are Tanner Strong. That's Tanner.org. Hashtag We Are Tanner Strong.
Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice program here on News Talk 1330, FM 106.3, also streaming live online at newstalk1330.com. I'm your host this morning, Colin Worthington. My guest is Karen Hartley with First Readers of Carroll County. Initially, had brought planned to bring Karen in and some other board members to discuss a recognition you guys had recently received. I think this is about a month or so ago. Accredited by the Standards for Excellence Institute. It's a seal of excellence. What does that mean for you
what
guys?
What does that mean? It means the last 2.5 years have been a whole lot of work. Mm-hmm. Standards of Excellence is a program that helps nonprofits really get their act together. And for us, it meant doing everything from clarifying our mission and vision to doing a strategic plan, writing all kinds of policies and procedures about everything from human resources and financial to IT and crisis development and equity, diversity, and inclusiveness. Which was the last one we had to write. So it was a lot of work, a lot of written policies, and put us in a whole different plane as far as our preparation and readiness for maybe down the road hiring an executive director or some people to work for us instead of being all volunteer.
Talk about your volunteers. How many volunteers do you have with First right now?
We have 16 on our board. Mm-hmm. We are a working board, so every one of those members has a job. And some of them are committee chairs and have other volunteers under them. We have a group that handles all of the registration and touches base with all the places that need registration forms, make sure they have them, pick up registration forms, works with the post office on deliveries, those kinds of things. We have a group that does our training program for parents, which is called Conversation Counts, and we'll talk about that in more detail in a little bit. We have a financial and fundraising committee, and obviously that's a whole big group mm-hmm. of people that do a variety of things with that. We have a communications team that handle everything from our social media and our website to our parent newsletters and communications with our volunteers. And we have a volunteer management group. So we're an active bunch.
Mm-hmm. Prior to the pandemic, you know, this year excluded, how were the like the hospitals and Department of Health? How are they getting the word out? I mean, you know, they see a child or they see a child in need that they think would help. How do they determine?
And WIC was one of our biggest supporters, and WIC just sort of encouraged, mm-hmm. asked every parent who came in with a child if they weren't in the program to fill out the registration form and get them registered. And they were registering anywhere from 25 to 50 kids a month with us. And so that was a good one. We know those kids are kids in need. Mm-hmm. So we wanted every child that comes through that program to be a part of it. The hospital registers children are tries to encourage the mothers to fill the forms out before they go home from the hospital after they've had their baby. And so we get a large percentage of those that come in. And we have people that go by the hospital and pick those up until COVID. Now they mail them to us, but that's okay with that. The libraries put them out for registration. They encourage them in their children's reading hour and at other times with that. So those are our three key ones. The schools encourage it when they're registering kindergarten children. They ask if younger children are in the family and if they're getting the books, and they ask if children have been reading first books. So, you know, it's all important there.
Are you seeing families with, you know, they have maybe three or four kids? Are you seeing all three of those kids get it? Maybe, you know, birth,
yes,
the first one and then?
Yes, yes. And they all get different books. So the only complication we have is if you've got twins, we don't have a way to give them two different books, yeah, with that. Yeah, every child gets their own set of books, and they come with their child's, you know, name on the package. So they get excited that, yeah, way. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the parents' workshop. I guess is that basically set to again remind them how important it is to read with your child?
And you know, it's more than remind them. In many cases, it's teach them that they are the child's first teacher. And many parents don't really realize that. They don't think they need to learn those things till they get to school. You know, I've heard parents say to me, my son's going to kindergarten next year. He's going to learn to read. And I'm like, but you should have been reading to him by now. And they look at you blankly. So, you know, we have a new program that we got started with about a year and a half ago, and COVID slowed it down, but we hope to really kick it off big this year. That really is the intent is to teach parents why it's important to read to their children and to reach those parents in the first year that they have that child so that they really are learning how to do that. We've made the decision to be facilitators of that program and train people and provide them with the materials for that class. It's a manual and a PowerPoint presentation that's all clean and simple to use and real simple to train people on how to do it. So we've reached out, we've trained people in the Carrollton City schools now, and they've implemented it in several different programs. We're reaching out now to the county schools to do the same thing, to churches, to daycare centers, to others that we hope to really provide that program and materials, and we have books to give out and things to help, incentives to help really provide that, you know, encourage parents to come and participate in that program. But we've realized that the best way to get parents in the room is to have them in a situation where they're already familiar with the people they're coming to meet with. Sure. And that's going to be churches and other organizations. So,
are there ever concerns or discussions about the, you know, is there ever the concern that you may need to move to all digital? Are we ever worried about that?
It comes up every once in a while, but, you know, the statistics all tell us that the first 3 years of life should not be digital, and that children need that hands-on conversation and talking to them to learn good vocabulary and attentiveness skills and all of that. And so reading real books is important with that. So,
and you know, I have the memory of, you know, being an 8-9-year-old and, you know, you could sign up for the Columbia Record Company and mm-hmm. they didn't ID you or anything. It was a penny if you promised to buy 10 more in 5 years and then you get your free 8, but then you don't buy them and nothing happens to you. But, you know, I remember being excited to go out to the mailbox to get those. I mean, that was for me. That was my record.
Yeah.
So I can imagine the same.
Imagine,
you know,
a 3-year-old. Yeah. At that point. Exactly.
That, yeah.
Exactly.
Anyway, it's funny. We were talking about stockpiling items as well before the show. Imagine saving all those books. That is something that would mean something, I mean, for years to come, and maybe something
right.
you want to share with your
right.
own kid.
Right, yeah. Some people do share their books. And we encourage people, if you aren't going to use them and you're ready to get rid of them, pass them on to somebody else or pass them to a group, Open Hands or other groups that can get them out.
Or the little libraries.
To the little libraries around town. Absolutely. There's lots of those, and they'll disappear quickly.
Karen Hartley with First Readers of Carroll County, our guest on this morning's Community Voice program. I'm going to come back with about 9 minutes left in our show after our final break here. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3.
For more than 70 years, you have turned to Tanner Health System for your healthcare needs. As our community moves forward, Tanner is here for you. strong, safe, and close to home. Routine medical appointments, urgent elective surgeries, and imaging are back on the calendar at our hospitals and Tanner Medical Group practices. With the safety of our patients, staff, and community always our top priority. Learn more at Tanner.org. Hashtag We Are Tanner Strong. That's Tanner.org. Hashtag We Are Tanner Strong.
At Oak Mountain Academy, our academic excellence shines through innovation and a personalized educational experience. Our pre-K 3 through 12th grade environment offers a family-oriented atmosphere. We are an independent school with faith-based values and an academy honor code. Our academic standards prepare our students for college and beyond. I'm Patrick Duran, headmaster, inviting you to visit us on the mountain or at oakmountain.us. Come see how our warriors are creating legacies.
Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice Program here on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3 on this Christmas holiday week. Two more days. Back on Monday, I remember they were talking about the potential we could see some snow, not significant snow or anything, but it looks like that system's going to get here a little bit early. We're not going to get any major snow, but I could see some flurries Christmas Eve, and that might be enough. It's going to be cold for sure. It's going to be about 25 degrees overnight before Christmas morning. Back to the Community Voice Program right now. My guest is Karen Hartley. She's with First Readers of Carroll County. And is it safe to say you're a founding member? You've been there from the start?
I am a founding member. Yeah, I've been here since we first started talking about the organization and began to set it up in 2004. We started mailing books to children and registering children in 2005. Mm-hmm. And since that time, we have just celebrated back in September that we've hit 500,000 books mailed into Carroll County.
How about you?
Over that 15 years.
And at this point, you were giving books to 3, 4, 5-year-old kids, I mean, those kids have graduated now.
Yes. Those are high school kids now, mm-hmm. or have graduated, yeah.
How did you guys, the group that decided to start this here, I mean, were you looking for something to help what you saw as a problem, or did you stumble across this group nationally?
It's kind of an interesting story, and I'll try to summarize it pretty quickly. We had the Women's Club was the first thing that first got involved with this, Carrollton Civic Women's Club. We had a member who had been to an award ceremony for her son in Tennessee and learned about the Dolly Parton Imagination Library. And she came back and she said, we need to do this. This is a really cool program. They mail books to children. And so we started investigating that, and it seemed like a great idea. And we talked to Dolly Parton Library, and they said, oh, well, First does that for all of Georgia. And so contact them. So we contacted them, and it just rolled from there. And we began to, get it organized and started with a small group, and actually went to Daniel Jackson and said, Daniel, help us put this together. And he pulled the community people, the right people in the room, mm-hmm. and we talked about it. And First came and did a presentation, and they said, everybody in the room went, yep, we need this. So off we began.
You say they make them available to everybody in Georgia. Do you know if every county is taking advantage of this?
About half the counties participated. When the organization began in 99, they really started focusing on the southern counties that were most rural, and they knew had the most need. And now they're beginning to look at how those programs work in a metropolitan area. And it can't be a county program in an Atlanta area, mm-hmm. because it's so large. So like Cobb County has kicked off in the last year or so, and they've got like three different pods of people working on different areas, Austell and different spaces. So it's a little more complicated in a metropolitan area, but yeah. And they've now expand to about 6 or 7 other states where they have communities doing it.
Well, what does it take to keep this running here on a local level? Because I wonder, why wouldn't a county want to participate in it? If you think about a county a little further south than us, why wouldn't they want to participate?
Yeah, our role is strictly registering kids and raising the funds to pay for the books. And so in our case, we currently serve about 3,000 children, 3,700 children this year. That's down a little bit. Typically, the last several years, it's been about 4,500 children. But with COVID, we've lost some of our registrations. And so we mail over 3,000 books a month at roughly $3 a piece. That's a $9,000 bill. So that's about what it costs us. We've got to raise enough money to cover those costs every single month with that. And over the years, we've, you know, planned out our events and had our supporters and individuals and the grant groups and kind of did it on a prayer every month. There are groups that go, oh, no, we have to have 5 years before we'll do it. And we're like, no, we're going to do it day by day. And we've been fortunate that the money's always been there when we needed it. So
how often do you have to talk to the parents or the kids when they reach five and they're looking, all right, well, I'm going to start my new series of books now. And you got to tell them, hey,
there is a little disappointment on that fifth birthday when they get their last book. And we know that. And there's been conversation about expanding the program maybe another year or whatever. Right now, until we're reaching all the kids at the early age, we've kind of, in this county, gone, let's not expand it because we're not reaching all the kids we need yet here. Demographically, they tell us there's about 7,000 children under the age of five in Carroll County. So we're only reaching about half of those kids. And so we would like to get that number up.
And you think about, there are parents maybe that, you know, more successful and they're doing well, and they may not think that they want to take advantage of a nonprofit in that way. But is there some kind of maybe benefit to all these kids having read that same book and then becoming friends when they're 4 years old and they can compare that book and say, hey, we all read
that book
together?
That's an interesting thought. I hadn't thought about that. I guess it's a possibility. And, you know, the kindergarten and first grade teachers tell us the books that they get the last 2 years carry on over until they're probably 7 or 8 years old. They'll continue to read those books. So they're going to have long-term value. Mm-hmm. And I do have parents occasionally that go, I can buy all the books I need. And I'm like, well, then support another child. You know, make a $40 donation or make support five children, whatever you can afford to provide that for other children in the county that it can't. It's a bargain. When you can get 12 books for $40 mailed to you, you know, and even to go and buy them at Walmart, they're going to be $7-$8 a piece.
Absolutely.
And I see the same books that we provide in those kind of stores, and that's what they cost. So, you know, it can be a great way to just get bargain books if you want to, and add to that program if you're going to add more books to that, which, you know, certainly some people will do.
And kids will read the same book over and over and over again.
Over and over again.
I read the Charlie and Lola series. I mean, there's like 12 of those. I actually kind of enjoyed those books. Those were clever. But yeah, and I still have those. Just, they kind of mean something to me now. My son's 17, and I can't even part with those yet.
Right.
Just because they kind of mean something to me, having that time reading.
And they will get to the point that they correct you when you don't read it right, because they know the book. You know, can't skip a page because they know the book now with that. Yeah.
Well, let's give our listeners an opportunity to make donations. Again, it's a little harder this year. You guys didn't have your big fundraiser.
That's right.
But if somebody would like to make a donation, and you'd mentioned it, $40 a year will support one reader, mm-hmm. one young reader.
One child, yeah.
How do they get in touch and make
that
happen?
They can go to carolfirst.org.
F-E-R-S-T.
Uh-huh. F-E-R-S-T. Carol First, all one word, .org. And click on donate, and it'll get right in. They can use their credit card and do a donation.
Is there information?
Or they can mail us a check if they'd like to, and that's to P.O. Box 1922, Carrollton, 30112.
And then grandparents and parents who would like their child to participate in this, is it the same route, same
website? If they're here in the county, they can go to that website. Or if they live somewhere outside of Carroll County, they can go to firstreaders.org and click on the registration button.
Karen Hartley, thank you for coming out this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It was good to see you again. And we appreciate you all listening to this morning's Community Voice program here on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3. Time right now is 8:59. Stay tuned for national headlines, followed by your local news, and then Glenn Beck, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity on our programming till 6 o'clock this evening. Steve Graddick back in this chair tomorrow morning's Community Voice at 8:30. I believe he'll have a special Christmas guest, so I hope you'll tune in for that show again tomorrow at 8:30. Have a great Wednesday.